Hey, before the episode begins, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to people who have been rating us on Spotify. We've only just noticed because Spotify doesn't let us know, so we had to go like kind of stalk our own account, kind of. But thank you so much for leaving reviews. It's helping us so much. So let's get into the episode, I guess. So let's get weird. Welcome to the Graveyard Girls podcast with Amelia and Natasha.
Hello
and welcome.
It's the Graveyard Girls.
And it's another Patreon episode.
Yeah.
So, do you want me to jump straight into it?
I guess so.
Okay, I will jump straight into this one. Have you ever heard of something called the Screaming Skulls?
Kind of, but not really. You'd have to tell me about it.
Okay. Well, good job.
No, I think, I don't know. It's from like stories, but I've never like really connected it to anything.
Yeah, it basically is stories. So that have been passed down. So a screaming skull is a paranormal object. So I picked this because I thought Natasha will like this.
Yes, of course.
So a human skull, which per legend speaks, screams or haunts its environment. This legend is mostly found in England.
Okay.
So I'm basically going to look at the British screaming skulls for this. So, Bettiscombe Manor in Dorset, England, is said to be home of a screaming skull of a Jamaican slave. This is dating back to the 19th century. A slave of John Frederick Pinney was brought to the manor in 1830. Whilst in his master's service, the slave took ill and died of suspected tuberculosis. As he lay dying, he swore he would never rest until his body was returned to his homeland of Nevis. But when he died, John Frederick Pinney refused to pay for such an expensive burial and instead had the body interred in the grounds of St. Stephen's Church Cemetery.
I have a question.
Okay.
I take it we don't know the slave's name?
No.
Okay.
There's different reports of the name, but there were so many different variations of it, I wasn't convinced that any of them were correct.
Okay. It probably wouldn't be there.
So I didn't include them, yeah.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be their true name anyway.
Yeah.
Seeing as he's an enslaved person.
Yes, I feel like it probably a lot of it was nicknamed then. There were some that was what I would have considered a little bit offensive.
Okay.
So I decided not to include them because I didn't feel I couldn't find any concrete evidence on them. So I thought there's no point in hurling out offensive names.
No.
Especially if there's no concrete proof.
And that is very understandable.
Yes.
Yes. We don't want to further continue with that.
Yes.
Narrative.
So, after the burial, there's not an A in it, I just said an A for no reason. Can't read me a writing. After the burial, poor fortune plagued the village for months, and screams and crying were said to be heard coming from the cemetery. Other disturbances were reported from the manor house. I just said that word. Other disturbances were reported from the manor house. These included things like windows rattling and doors slamming of their own accord. No, I just think it's a strong wind.
Yeah, strong wind. Also, cries and wails or whatever from the graveyard. Isn't that just people in the graveyard crying?
Apparently, not to be said, it's a very spooky story, Natasha.
Okay, I'm sorry. I set the scene. There's a thunderstorm outside.
Yeah. And there's not just some poor woman wailing in the in the cemetery.
Also, it's kind of annoying because he's an enslaved person, so they're like, oh, he's doing some weird shit in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Said no.
He's resting in peace, or trying to, but you buried him in the wrong place.
Yes.
So
all would be well if you did what he asked. It's not
exactly
a hard thing.
I think that's supposed to be the point of the story, is it's a bit like the moral of the story.
Oh,
is.
Okay.
I wonder if that's where they're going with it. So the villagers went to the manor to seek advice. The body was exhumed and taken to the manor house. In the process of time, the skeleton has long since vanished, except for the skull, where it has remained in the manor for centuries.
Okay. How do you like lose the entire body but not the skull?
I don't think they really cared, did they?
No.
I think it's part of the problem.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
And maybe only wanted the head on display. So they dug the whole thing up and then were just like, I only want this bit in the house.
Okay, that's weird.
It is. I mean, to be fair, even the skull bit's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But it's like a weird taxidermy without it being taxidermied.
That, and also it's like, I own you in death as well.
I've also just thought, like, how soon after was it? Because he won't have been reduced to just a skeleton that quickly.
No.
So have they exhumed the body, cut all the flesh and the organs off, and then just been left with the bones? Maybe that's how they lost the body. They started cutting it all up, and then it was getting a bit messier than they thought, and they just thought, yeah, it's a bit hard work, this.
Yeah. Because, like, what, 18 months, maybe? Then it's all skeletal-ish?
I feel like it's still really stinky.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be weird. I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. Right. So, others have rumoured that there was many attempts to get rid of the skull, but that every time someone did try to get rid of it, screams and other strange phenomenon would follow and not cease until the skull was placed back inside the manor. At one point, it was said that the skull was thrown into a nearby pond by a resident of the manor. He is said to be so appalled by the appearance of the skull that he immediately ran outside and threw it into the local pond. The resident was then troubled by screams and moans all night long. I feel like he might have just had some noisy company. And the next day quickly retrieved the skull and placed it back inside the manor, where it resided for a while, nice and quietly. So apparently it behaves itself when it's put back.
Okay.
So I don't quite believe that.
But, no.
And it's a bit of an odd thing, but I suppose it makes for a good story.
Of course. It's just a family tradition of just telling a story. It's like, oh, you don't want to touch that.
I like the idea that it was like, he threw it in the pond. He was so disgusted with it. Yeah. Why throw it in the pond? Why not just lob it out the window?
How do you get it out the pond? Unless it's like a little one.
I don't know. Does it float? Because like it's not got the eye sockets. So like there's air. So would it just bob along the top?
Oh, so then it just fishes it out. Get like a stick in the eye socket. Like, whoop. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Although supposedly if it's screaming and moaning, can you hear it? I feel like it almost goes a bit like glow in the dark when it's under the water.
See what I mean?
And then it's floating at the top.
This is what I'm thinking. Like, how is the skull physically making the screaming?
I don't know.
It can't. It doesn't have any vocal cords.
It's supernatural, Natasha.
Sorry, but I do like supernatural stuff, but no, this is not a thing.
It's a bit silly, isn't it? So in the graveyard the body was originally buried in, it said that on one particular night of the year, a ghostly coach hurtles up the road from Betterscombe Manor to the local churchyard.
My Doolahan.
It is a little bit like isn't it?
Is he coming?
He is coming. He's coming from the mall.
If you can smell the stinky cheese, you better run.
The locals called this the funeral procession of the skull. A writer by the name of Eric Marple, not related to Mrs. Marple. I did check. If that's where she got the inspiration for the character from, but it's not. Spent the night in the manor with a skull in the 1960s and claimed to have not heard of any screaming, but was apparently plagued with nightmares. He declined an offer to stay a second night and was said to hastily leave the manor.
That's
I feel
a
like
nightmare.
Just had a shit night sleep.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the skull.
Or you're subconsciously trying to think of like spooky stuff, so your brain makes you have nightmares.
Exactly. You're paranoid about being there. You're scared it's going to get you, so then you just don't sleep.
Yeah.
I think we're right there.
Mm.
And this is where it then gets very interesting, and it's probably why it links in nicely as to why we're so suspicious of it.
Okay.
Now, in 1963, so that's a couple of years after Mr. Marple paid a visit, a professor of human and comparative anatomy at the Royal College of Surgeons stated that the skull was not that of a black man, the slave, but that of a European female aged between 25 and 30. So the skull that they've been lobbing about and is claiming is of the slave, it's not even of a black man. It's of a European woman.
Well, they messed that up. I think that's why it's screaming.
It's the wrong one.
Yeah, she's just like,
she's
it's not me.
Off.
Yeah, she's like, for God's sake, it's not me. Oh, it's not him. You got the wrong skull, for God's sake.
Yeah, she's still got the wrong one. It's probably like the daughter, like a great-great-granddaughter of one of the people at the manor.
It's
one of their own ancestors.
Maybe, or she was a servant girl because she's white.
Oh,
she's slightly higher up above the enslaved man.
Yes, yeah, so she goes, excuse me, I'm slave number one, not slave number two.
How dare you?
But yeah, so then that brings me on to, so who's is the skull?
I bet they're just like, oh, look, this skull would make some like really interesting stories.
I think that's where a lot of these come from. I mean, to be fair, it does when you start off with, but I feel like it's more playground stuff and you wouldn't expect people to believe it as an adult.
To be fair, if I saw a skull, I'd probably keep it, thinking it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Because I have a little mini one over there. Like,
who's that? It's not is that your great grandma?
Yes, I shrunk her head and I can't see it. Where is it?
I don't know. I'm slightly scared that your grandma's in here with us.
Oh, no, she was cremated and then...
Oh, okay, that's fine. She... That's the part.
In the ground. Yeah, it was weird. She was cremated.
Her ashes in her?
It's fine. No, we have ashes in the garage that we don't know who they belong to.
Oh, are you killing random people?
Do you not know about the ashes?
No.
Oh, they were there when we moved in.
What?
Yeah. Someone
so you can't get rid of them?
No.
So it's either someone's pet...
No.
Or...
These are human remains.
How do you know they're human?
Because the size of it.
It could have been like a big pet.
No. I think it's... Because it's been there so long, that like the names rubbed off. And we kept getting letters from the other... the funeral home for someone to pick up the other ashes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So the person that collected the first ashes is probably dead.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, no. Couldn't you contact them and be like, yeah, we have the other ashes. We don't know who these belong to. Who were in the house before?
Mr. and Mrs. Fox.
Can't you speak to Mr. and Mrs. Fox?
I don't know. I don't know where they collect. Live. Well, no, because I was just like, should we just take them to Bradgate Park and then like let them go?
Oh, no. Yeah, then they come back 3 weeks later. Like, we've come to collect the ashes. And you were like,
let me just empty the Hoover. But there's a thing that, like, if you release ashes and it's not that person's wish, they come back and haunt you.
Oh, yeah, okay, you don't want to be haunted by a possible Mr. or Mrs. Fox.
So we put them in the garage.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't know if you were going to say it was like one of those husbands of yours that we've never found.
What? You're the one who keeps murdering men, Amelia.
No, you're the one, if you remember, from Dionysus. You look like you could murder a husband.
Oh, so, okay, yes.
Yeah. But it's your first husband.
I think he was very elderly. Yeah, we've kind of put a box around it.
If anyone's lost a son.
No, it's not a son. I think he's old.
I mean, you could have married an old man, Natasha.
If anyone's lost a granddad and he was cremated, he's in my garage.
Okay.
Or grandma. I'm not sure who it is.
How do you know they're old?
I don't know. I just presumed.
No.
They got rid of their mum and dad and then...
Well, bumped them off for the inheritance.
Yeah.
Just like you've just bumped your husband off for the inheritance money.
Oh, yes, because I'm buying a house.
She's bullshitting about it being the previous occupants leaving it behind. It's Natasha that did it.
Yes, I'm buying a house with my husband's inheritance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Back to the school.
I do genuinely have ashes in the ground. I thought I told you about this.
No.
Oh, okay.
I would have definitely remembered this story.
I'm sure. Who have I told then? I don't know.
I don't know. You might want to be careful because the police might be coming around.
This is a paid for episode, so anyone who dobs me in, it's one of them.
Right, okay. There's going to be someone that will hear this one day and they'll be like, oh my God, I wondered where we left the ashes. Can you imagine if they moved house and thought they've lost them in transit? Why would you not come back for the ashes? That's something so major. Like, it's not like you're going to shove it in the boot, are you? You'd be like, have them on your lap.
Yes. Oh, no. They left lots of stuff here.
Oh, okay.
Because they...
Did they die or... Is that how you ended up with the house?
No. When we moved in, they were... They obviously didn't realise we were coming the day, even though we agreed that day. They were still packing on that day we turned up. So they just was like, you can keep that.
Oh,
yeah, there was like weird things left, like pillows in the attic left, like well worn.
What, where they've stored their slave?
Maybe, yeah, because it was... Yeah. And then there's like weird bikinis underneath.
Okay, so now they've been kidnapping underage children. They've been running a child trafficking thing.
Well, I told you, this house is built on a old children's home. That's why it's haunted.
Oh, bloody hell.
Hmm?
But what if the ashes, we're blaming these people, what if the ashes were from the people before this people and the stuff that they left was from the people before that?
Maybe. This is why we can't, because it's Mr. and Mrs. Fox and there was one other family before then and that's it.
Oh, bloody hell.
Mm. So it's one of those.
Are you not curious to find out who they are?
I've looked, but I can't like find anything out.
Oh. Is there any private detectives out there that could...
Maybe, but you have to pay.
True. Well, if all people sign up to Patreon...
Yeah, there you go.
Then they can pay for us to find out who the mysterious slashes belong to.
Yes, there we go. We have our own true crime.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I'm gutted you haven't told us.
I told someone. I don't know who I told.
I'm genuinely intrigued now.
It's on my side of the garage because, yeah, thanks.
Can you extract the DNA from them? I don't think you can from ashes, can you? Unless there's fragments of bone left.
I assume not.
I was going to say you could put it in some DNA thing. You know, like a paternal thing, just pretend it was a child of yours.
But like, this person was born way before you were. I was like, yeah. Or...
I was just checking it was grandma. We had two lots of ashes. We got all mixed up.
You know that woman who eats her husband's ashes? She would just give them to her. Ew.
I really want to know who it is. It's going to turn out to be someone's like pet pony or something, and then...
They're like pretty hefty ashes.
Yeah, but horses are big.
True. I don't know, we got distracted. Let's talk about Screamer School. Maybe.
A giant.
A giant?
Yeah. That's why there's so many ashes. Or did they just not disintegrate that well?
I don't know, I've not looked inside.
Oh no, you can't look inside. There might be nothing in there. And that's why they left it, because it was just empty. Maybe they did get rid of the ashes and they've just been left with their little thing.
The urn.
Yeah.
Mm.
All this time you're like, yeah, I've got ashes in my garage. It's fucking empty. It's got sweets in it. Quality Street.
Why would you put it in the urn? Celebrations. Celebrations because they're glad they're dead. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know. I've not lifted it. There's got to be something in there.
Is it heavy?
I don't know, I've not touched it.
Oh.
Someone put a cardboard box around it so we can't see it. Yeah, it's on my side of the garage.
Oh. This is why we're getting interference, Natasha. The fucking dead person in your garage is pissed off that you've not done anything about it.
Well, it's like, what do we do? Do we get rid of them? Or not?
But surely when they contacted you about collecting the other ashes, I'd have just written back to them and been like... pretended to be them and be like, oh yeah, could you either send them, or be like, oh no, this person's moved out, they need to...
We did the no longer at this address.
Oh right, okay. Oh, you did do that. I was gonna say that, but like, even though they moved away, like, could you tell me who it is, because we have some more ashes here. Yes, we don't know how to forward them. We'll find a collection of ashes.
Yes, we have Mary's ashes. Are these John ashes? Can you get rid of them, please?
Or like, where have they bumped off?
I don't know. Two?
At least two. Okay. Natasha's killed at least two men. So what are you looking for now, husband number three?
Yeah, that time's a charm.
Oh, true.
Hmm?
If anyone wants a new wife. And she just... definitely won't kill you and keep you in a garage. And blame it on the previous occupants.
Like I said,
what would you do if the police did do a random search in your house? Like, say they got you mixed up with another crime and they do like a house search, right? They come and do it, and then while they're here, they just find the ashes in the garage and they'll be like, who do these belong to? And you're like, I don't know. And they go, this looks very suspicious.
But I don't have a crematorium to burn bodies in, so it wouldn't look that suspicious.
You could have burned them in the garden.
Yeah, but they wouldn't get, like, you need that like intense heat to get it down to that.
You might have burnt them several times.
Maybe.
And then stuffed them in the garage.
No, my neighbours would have seen. They're very nosy. Oh, can I get rid of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Shove them in the garage.
Betty and Bob.
Betty, Bob, John and Mary. He's John. He is a John. Get rid of John. He looks like a rat. He does.
Is this the weird one that stands out naked?
Yes. See, you know about him. He's a weirdo.
Yeah, I remember the naked man.
Yeah, because he walks by and you're like, look in your window and see if you wave. Yeah. This is so weird.
What are you supposed to do? Shout out the window. Ooh, nice penis.
Oh.
old man, wrinkly penis.
He's old.
So we're massively off topic now.
Yep.
Right. So, the fossilised skull is believed to have been submerged in the well near the manor house at the foot of Pilsdon Pen, a hill which covers the top of an Iron Age ritual plot. The skull may have come from the hill itself, and the shiny surface of the skull may be a result of its immersion in the well and the minerals contained therein.
I'm sorry, how long was it in the well for?
Well, if it's going back to Iron Age.
Oh, are they thinking it's from that time?
Yeah. So the skull that's now is not belonging to the slave man from the graveyard. They believe it's come up in the well. Because if you go back to a lot of these, like, culture things, a lot of them, they do things like, well, they still do today, like, well dressing.
Mm.
But a lot of them, they would have either... It's either then been built on a top of a burial thing, and obviously over the years it's sort of surfaced up because of the waters pushing it up, or... A lot of these, there's no proof of it, but there's lots of suggestion that there was human sacrifice and people would do that in order to worship things like water for fertility for land.
Okay.
So they would have maybe dumped the bodies down the...
Okay, so the original story of them digging it up, that's false.
No, so it could have just surfaced.
Okay.
So you think over years of the water, like, pushing it up, and then obviously they would have been pulling the water up out the well.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably that school's initially come from a much deeper burial plot from
years
and years ago. So
that's probably, yeah, that's what happened. He was getting some water out of the well. He just assumed, well, to fit the story, he assumed it was the enslaved man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's washed up, which would also explain why there's no body, because if it's just the head that's bobbed up.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, the reason it's got the shiny surface is it's the fossilised, and they believe the minerals from over years, as it's been buried before it surfaced.
Okay.
It's given it not a crystally sort of effect, but you know what I mean.
Ooh. So. For some reason, I was kind of expecting like a almost black polished skull for some reason.
Ooh.
So like it looks almost wooden, but then that wouldn't make sense.
Hmm.
I don't know.
No. I don't know. I haven't seen the actual skull or any pictures of it, so I'm afraid I can't answer that for you.
No, because if you have a picture, you'd hear screams in the night.
But yes. So then this brings me back on to the bit about the ancient times. So in ancient times, skulls or severed heads were often used in offerings to water spirits and would be placed in wells and ponds, and it's believed to hold spirits who would protect and guard the homestead as long as they were treated with respect. Some say that the sacred heads were so feared that many would not speak of where the heads lay for the fear of bad luck. So okay. Again, if you want to go back to the whole Iron Age thing, it's part of it's superstition and part of it is like the sort of made up the story, but also they made offerings from hundreds of years ago. It's to help with, I think they believed if they offered these things up, then it would bring them back luck in return, so they'd get good crops. Obviously the water would be good. If they'd had a bad year, the next year would be better.
Okay.
It's that mixed in with superstition.
Yeah.
So, to add further confusion about the skull's origins, another popular story is that the slave had originally had a fight to the death, the skull being the only thing that remained of the loser, yet no one knows who lost. So, I don't see one why he'd be fighting a woman. Unless they're just pitting two slaves against each other, but also, why still just leave the head?
I don't get that. And then also, you would know who the loser is because you have the skull.
Yes. And it's not documented. But then did they not document it because they were pitting slaves against each other?
Okay, that's slightly interesting. That's a weird theory.
It is an odd thing, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
So, that is not the only British screaming skull.
Okay.
There is more. So, this is the screaming skull of Theophilus. In 1791, British historian John Collinson recorded a strange anecdote in his History of Antiquities of the County of Somerset. He reported that in one out-of-the-way parish, residents were being haunted by Theophilus Broom, a local man who had requested that after his death, his head be returned to his farmhouse rather than being buried with his body. The villagers initially did this, but when they later attempted to remove the skull from the house, they were met with ear-splitting results. The skull supposedly screamed and moaned, piercing the villagers' ears with horrid noises, pretended with sad displeasure until they moved it back into the dead man's farmhouse. Apparently years later, when the villagers once again tried to dig a grave for the skull, their spade split in half, making it impossible to return Broom's head to the earth.
It's just a shit spade and some hard ground.
But yeah, so it's a very strange request to want your own head in your farmhouse.
Hmm.
Isn't it? Or is it to scare people off? I don't know.
Going back to the enslaved skull, even though we know it's now it's not, maybe his... I'm sorry, what was the master's name?
John Frederick Pinney, was it? Yes.
So maybe he took the skull thinking, because he was a black man, that he would have something to do with like voodoo and those voodoo rituals. So maybe he took the skull and made like a little altar thinking it would work, but turns out he had the wrong skull.
picked the wrong one, dug the wrong one up in the middle of the night.
And that maybe that's what caused the screaming.
Oh,
I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm just trying to think of it in like a supernatural sense. Why would you take this? But yeah, why would you have a skull in your house?
I feel like I said, the whole well thing, that would make it sense. Why you got it? Literally, you've just brought it up when you've been collecting water.
Yeah,
it just seems much more plausible.
And he's recently just buried one of his enslaved peoples, so then he assumes.
Yeah, but it also makes for a good story.
Because
if you said about, oh yeah, I brought a skull of my slave, and then people are like, yeah, but have you though? And you'd be like, yeah, look, skull.
Skull. And they'll be like, he's only been dead a week. Yeah, but I buried him and it popped up. It popped up, you know.
He was so angry with me, it just resurfaced.
And this is how you keep slaves in line. You have a skull around the house.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, if you were another one of those slaves at the time, you wouldn't be pissing about, would you?
Exactly.
You'd be like, I don't end up on his fireplace.
Yeah, it probably keeps them all in line.
It probably does, to be fair. And it makes for a good story as well.
It does,
as we all know. But yeah, so this one was a bit odd. I still don't understand why he wanted his head.
In the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just imagine seeing a skull.
Yeah, but also, can you imagine if you were like the relative, say like the son or a daughter, and you just sat like casually like eating your breakfast.
And then... with your dad's head.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, because like you said, how long after the fact do you have the skull?
The only other way I can think you're doing it is if you're like skinning it straight away and then cleaning it and polishing it, you know, rather than waiting for it to decay.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No.
It's very strange.
Do you want my skull?
Do I want your skull?
No.
I don't know.
It's a weird...
I want your little ghost tattoo. I'll have to do what I suggested to Leanne with my dinosaur tattoos. We'll have to skin you and I'll frame...
Yeah, my little... Your little space ghosty. Ghost. Okay, you can have that. But yeah, having someone's like physical bone... I don't know.
It's scary. Like, if you accidentally found it on a dig, you'd be like, oh, that's quite cool. I found it. I don't really know actually who it relates to. But to actually go for someone's skull that you know.
Yeah.
Because it's like, even if you hated the person, you'd also be shitting your pants a little bit that you've then still let the person that you don't like back into your house. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe having the skull of your enemy.
I mean, yeah, it is cool. But at the same time, what if the whole haunting thing is actually real? Yeah, true. And then... it's like you've just let them back in, but now they're stuck in your house.
And now you can't get rid of them.
Whereas if you buried them, you know they're 6 feet under, and you still know where they are, and you can laugh. Cut them there. But they're not in your house. Like, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I murdered someone and then kept their head in my house.
Mm. I think... oh, so you're not a trophy killer.
No, I'm not a trophy killer.
I think... maybe finding a skull, I might be tempted. Like when you find a cool rock, you're like, oh, I'll keep that.
Yeah, if I've just found a random skull. And like,
or a random bone. Yeah.
I'll keep it.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't do it as someone I know because, one, I'd also feel like they're really watching over me.
Yeah, because imagine like someone come around and be like, oh, that's Amelia. And they're just like, what?
And it goes quiet and then like I do a little whisper in the background.
Yeah. Amelia.
I'm here.
She died a long time ago.
I said I wanted burying somewhere else and she didn't listen.
Well, she's not doing anything about it because she's dead.
I am doing something about it. I'm going to haunt you forever, Natasha.
You're whispering. That's not doing anything.
I'll have to do it in a shouty voice then instead of whispering.
Okay. Yeah, my scream would be a whisper.
I won't really hear yours. I'd just be like,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, there's a little mouse.
be like a little scurrying noise instead. Like, something in here. And then your little school rattles. But yes, anyway, back to the case. There's another case. Another school. And I like this one. This is the Screaming School of Tunstead Farm. Now, in the 19th century, the Screaming School of Tunstead Farm was said to bring good luck and protection to the farm where it was stored. The farmer, Mr. John Bramwell, declared that it prevented the house and the farm from being robbed, and that he would sooner part with his best cow than with the school. So he was obviously very fond of this school. Now, sitting on the farmhouse windowsill, the Tunstead School, which had been named Dickie, mostly looked out over the farmland, making sure nothing was amiss. That was until the railway company tried to build a new track through part of the farm.
Ah, okay.
According to locals at the time, each day the company would start building the track, and then each night, Dickie would undo their work. In the 1863 magazine called Panorama, it reported that it was the steadfast belief that in the district the ghost would undo the Coombs embankment which had occupied many men during the day, and that Dickie was only propited at last by an interview with the engineer in which he promised free passage over the line forever.
So, to a school?
Yeah. So the engineer... So basically, Dickie's been undoing all the work at night time after they've done the work in the day.
Oh, so
the,
how?
Yeah, which I don't understand. So they're getting a bit pissed off. And then the engineer's like, we can't have this. I'll go and speak to the school. And then after he speaks to the school, he promised him free passage, and then all of a sudden it stopped. Now, I think it's more than likely that the farmer was not happy about the train line going through his farmland, and he just undid the work himself overnight.
Because, like, why would you offer free passage to a school?
I don't know.
Like, just to go over the line?
Yeah, maybe Dickie was worried, you know, he wouldn't be able to roam wherever. The train might run through his body. So they're like, it's okay, you can roam free through these parts.
But the school's not leaving the house, right?
Supposedly not.
So why would you offer the school free passage over the train line?
I don't know, keep it happy. Stop him from undoing your work. It's to shut him up. It's like offering a kid sweets to... Just sit through here and sit quietly and you can have some sweets.
It's a bit...
Yeah, I feel like it was more the farmer was pissed off about fact... The planning permission, it all still went ahead even though he put in a petition against it.
But you're offered free passage to the school, not the man.
I know, but I still feel like it was the farmer that did the work. And the
of course. So unless...
They probably had the conversation with the farmer, but then they worded it like, we agreed with the school.
The skull is on this man's head.
Oh.
Wearing it like a hat. He's like, yes, the skull may pass all the time. He's just
maybe
a weirdo.
The farmer was a bit mad, and the engineers had to say they spoke to school, or the mad farmer was the one that told the Panorama report that they'd given passage to the school.
Okay.
And it was like almost like the farmer went to him like, I don't want this line for the thing, and the engineer was like, it's happening regardless. He was like, you tell that to the school, you tell him he'll be safe. And then that's what it was. And so the engineer was a bit like, okay, I'll just shut this madman up.
The farmer is saying the skull is doing all the work. He's got it on his head. He's like a split personality.
But also I feel like he maybe used the skull to dig the wood out. Yeah, you know, like took the bottom jaw off and like scoot.
Maybe, yeah.
The skull did it. It wasn't me, no.
It's just this made up story. We should stop making up stories about schools.
I know. It's all right now. Your husband's...
My Lego skull.
You have got your Lego skull. It's and like, there's the ashes of your next victim.
Yes, I put them in a... It is a timer. It is not a dead person in there.
It is a dead person in there. Because she's got one in a garage. But yeah, so anyway, so where did these legends come from?
They're made up.
I think they are made up. Britain's Screaming School legends have been passed down orally for generations. Though little academic literature exists regarding the schools, many paranormal enthusiasts have noted a link to Celtic mythology, in which strange powers of the human head feature prominently. However, some say that if the legend was Celtic, it would likely appear throughout England, Ireland, Wales and Scotland. Instead, in terms of Britain, it only appears in English counties.
Okay,
they are mostly subject to oral folklore rather than historical record, their roots are nearly impossible to trace, as we have discovered. So we think
it's
the porky pies.
It's a good thing. Yeah, you just make something up. There's no trace of where it came from.
That's it. So we don't know. And like, and as we've discussed in many other episodes, women aren't documented very well. So that woman's school that was supposed to originally been the slave, she could have been important, but we wouldn't know because they didn't bother to document her.
Because she's a woman.
So she just became a slave.
Yeah.
From Jamaica. But yeah. But it was a good little
That was a good story. No, that was an interesting
It's
case.
An interesting one. I liked it. I thought you'd like it. It was a funny
It's
one.
Just, how would a skull scream?
Yeah, I don't understand how it's making the noise.
Unless it's a little ghosty, like wearing the skull, and it's like, whoa.
Even though there's someone in the distance with a weird instrument, like, hiding in the bushes.
Oh, yeah. Or like you said, the wind.
Yeah, just whipping it up.
Yeah.
It's going through the eye socket.
Yeah, so it's making like making a little noise. Like...
Yeah, like a wind instrument.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I said it's wooden.
So instead of playing, is it wood? What's the little pipe things where you blow along? What are they called?
Windpipes.
Yeah. But someone's doing that with a skull, like blowing through the eyeball or through the nostril, where the nostrils would be. So it's like a little percussion.
Would that work? I don't know. No, that was good.
But yes, so that was our, I was going to say next Patreon episode, but that's not right.
That is our Patreon for today.
Yes. I hope you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. In the meantime, keep creeping.
And I'll keep digging. Oh, it's supposed to be we're digging, not I. Oh, well, it's I keep digging now.